the title was, when you find yourself in a situation, look for the right solution. When you find yourself in a situation, look for the right solution. And we're all going to find ourselves in situations, some that we cause on ourselves, and we're like, oh, I'm going to learn from that situation, so look for the right solution. That's learn from it. Maybe not do it again if it's something that was not what the Lord would want, or maybe what we would want, things like that. Then there are some situations that we'll find ourselves in just because the world's full of sin and the world's full of issues, and it's just life. And so we didn't choose it, that situation we just find ourselves in. So, but what we need to do is look for the right solution. And we'll see, like for instance, in the story of I was studying a little bit today for Sunday morning, and so that's why it's popping in my mind. Joseph, again, all those things that happened to Joseph, he wouldn't have picked any of them. But then at the end of his life, when it came to fruition, he was like, I went through this and this and this and this, and I wouldn't have picked those, but I tried to do what God wanted me to do. Now look, the devil may have meant it for evil. My brothers that didn't like me may have meant it for evil. My master's wife, she may have meant it for evil. But God meant it for good now, because I'm saving many people alive. And so that's what we have to do, is if we're in a situation that we wouldn't have chosen, we got to ask God to help us to find that right solution. And so we talked about being a problem solver, and problem solvers, there's these things pop into our minds like, what's causing the problem? I got to get rid of that, and then it'd be okay. What needs to be done to fix this problem? What needs to be removed? What needs to be added? And then, if there's something that you can't fix right away, our mindset, those of us that are problem solvers, what can I do to at least lessen this situation? I may not be able to fix it right now, but let me get it going in the right direction. And so we look to do that. And then what can I set in motion to keep this from happening again? And so that's what a problem solver thinks. And we looked at a couple of examples about Proverbs 26:20, talking about that talebearer where if the wood's not added to the fire's going to go out. And so the solution was talebearing. If there's a situation and we keep yakking about it, and we keep arguing about it, and we keep fighting about it, and we keep, if we just stop, the fire will go out. So a lot of times, if people just don't force their opinions, sometimes the problems will take care of themselves. And that's what the Bible's saying. And Proverbs 22:24 was talking about that friendship with an angry man. If I always get in trouble when I'm around this person because they're angry, maybe I need to separate, let them chillax. Because it says, a furious man, I'm not going to go with them. And then we looked at one, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. So people that are involved in, work of Satan, alcoholism and pornography and, just wicked things out there. That's unfruitful works of righteousness. So have no fellowship with that person. Remove yourself. That's how you solve that problem. We talked about 2 Corinthians 6:17, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And so we saw, if it's causing hurt, find out what's causing that hurt and stop it. If it's causing harm, find out what's causing the harm, stop it. If it's causing a curse to come upon me, find out why the curse is there and stop it. We talked about, not tithing. There's a curse on us. How do we fix that? Start tithing. Being unequally yoked, the Bible says. If that's bringing hardship on you, don't be unequally yoked. Sinning, we saw. That sin, obviously, when sin is finished, it brings forth death. But before death, God's going to reprove and correct and spank, if you want to call it that, and get on to us. And we're like, okay, this sin is causing hurt in my life. So what is it? And so sometimes we saw in Numbers last week that it might be sinning ignorantly. I didn't even realize this was a sin. But then if we learn, okay, now I'm not going to do it. Then we saw the sin of witchcraft, rebellion. I know it's a sin, but I'm going to keep on doing it because I like it. And that's just going to keep bringing that problems on you. And then we saw that it was, if it was a good thing, we found out he that knoweth to do it good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. So if a person knows it's good to go to church and say, well, I just don't want to go, then they're sinning. If a person knows it's good to help individuals that need help, well, I just don't want to. If we know to do good, don't do it not, to him it's sin. So we saw that we read Ruth 3, Naomi was different now. In the first two chapters, she was bitter. She wanted to change her name. She wanted to get rid of her daughter-in-laws. She just wanted to forget everything and so forth. But now she's to the point in chapter 3 that she's right with God again. She's back to where she's supposed to be physically and spiritually. And she's starting to see God's hand again, and she's starting to be concerned with her daughter-in-law. And we saw in Ruth chapter 3, verse 1, it says here, you know, she's telling Ruth, I seek rest for you. In other words, I want your life to be restful. And we saw that in verse 1, that's what she wanted. This is why I'm telling you to do this. And then later on in the chapter, we saw that Ruth said, okay, I get it. You want the best thing for me. You want God's will for me. You want God to bless me. You want me to live in a way that God can bless me. I get that. So I'm going to do everything that you say. And we compared that last week with a parent and a child and a teacher and a student and a pastor and a church member. And so, you know, this is why we're saying what we're saying, parent and teacher and preacher and things like that, even a soul winner. This, I'm telling you how to get to heaven. Why? Because I want the best for you. And so we're telling them good news because we want the best for them. And we want it to be well with them. And then I added on there, you know, of course, any parent worth their salt wants the best for their children. And any pastor or deacon or Sunday school teacher in a church that wants the best for, you know, worth their salt, they want the best for the church family. And then, of course, we want the best for our community. We want the best for our country. And it just keeps on going. But that's what we're going to look at, is what we need to put into place, because, you know, sometimes there's a situation in our neighborhood. And in, you know, back in the day, there wasn't, you know, social media. A lot of neighborhoods these days even have a social media site for their neighborhood. And I mean, it can just get out of hand like that. And so we got to be careful. So there's situations that come. So how do we do it? So obviously Boaz was a type of Christ, and what Naomi was doing was pushing Ruth to Boaz. You go to Boaz. Boaz can fix it. Boaz can help you. Boaz can help any situation. So if we've come along and find ourselves in a situation, whether we chose it, didn't choose it, whatever, the best place we can go is to Jesus, our kinsman redeemer, and He'll help us through it. And that's what Ruth was, or Naomi was telling Ruth. You know, you need a husband. You're young, and you know, you. This is what I want you to do. We saw that a little bit last week. So Boaz was her hope. Naomi told Ruth, "Ruth, this is my plan. And this is what I want you to do." So that was the introduction, and I think we did these first two points, so I'll just read them real quick. To find the right solution for any situation, number one was we must have the right plan. And, of course, that was found in verses 1 through 7. This is what she said, I want you to do. And I want you to take a bath. I want you to put some perfume on. I want you to put your nicest clothes on. And I want you to go uncover his feet, lay down at his feet. I want you to do all that. And you probably remember now. But this is our plan. So the plan was all wrapped up in Boaz. Boaz was the answer. And so, again, in our life, in a Christian's life, when we hit a situation, we might find a how-to book. Or we might ask somebody that's been in that same situation. Or we might pay somebody to fix it. Or we might just say, hang it, and it gets worse. All right? That's not what we should do. A Christian, any situation, we should go to the Bible. We should go to our knees. We should go to you know, somebody that knows the Bible and help me. So again, they say, I can't remember how it says, if you keep doing this and you keep getting that, if you keep doing this, you're going to keep doing getting that. But you know, so it's just going to happen over and over and over. And so if we read a how-to book and the situation's still there, if we ask somebody that's been through it and we try to apply what they said to do it and it's still there, again, if you keep doing that, you're going to get the wrong solution. So the right solution is, you know, some of that may be helpful. That's why the Bible says in a multitude of counselors there's safety. So if that person that has been through it is a Christian, and they went to the Bible, or they went to God and said, this is what I learned from the Bible, or this is what I prayed and God showed me to do, that would be good solutions. But if God's not in the picture, that's not a good plan. So the plan must be wrapped up in Boaz. And that's what it was. The plan for our life should be wrapped up in Jesus. So then it was not Boaz plus something else. And so this is what, you know, the people out there that think they've got it all figured out, and they're trusting in their works and things like that. They won't totally trust in Jesus. Okay, yeah, I accepted Jesus as my personal Savior, but I give to the soup kitchen and I give to this mission program and I do this, and that's why I'm going to go to heaven one day. No, it's not Boaz plus something else. It's just Boaz. It's not Jesus plus something else. It's just Jesus. So the plan was to be all wrapped up in Jesus, and Jesus is the right plan. Number two last week was we must have the right purpose. The right purpose. Again, we ought not manipulate, and you can't do what they call, I guess they call it reverse psychology on God. You can't manipulate God. He's all-knowing. And the Bible says, you know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. He knows your heart. So if you're saying the right thing, but you're feeling the wrong thing, you can't schmooze God. So we have to have the right purpose. And so she's like, look, don't go in there and work the system. Don't go in there and play, you know, play like, you know, no, go in there and be for real. When you talk to Boaz, this is what you need to say to him. And he's heard of your testimony and he knows. And so talk to him. Don't try to trick him. Don't try to smooth him. Don't try to reverse psychology, Boaz. You go in there and talk to him. So this was the purpose. She was supposed to go in there. It was all going to be wrapped around him. Secondly, it was the right purpose was she was already had met him at the field that first day that she met him. When she was gleaning in the corners, and her purpose there was now was to go to the threshing floor. She was going to lay at his feet and establish a lasting relationship with him. So, of course, she met him that day. So, again, in a Christian, there has to be a time where we became a Christian. In other words, we met Christ. We asked him to be our Savior. So we had met. And so now that was taking place. She had already said, okay, Naomi, your God's going to be my God. Your people's going to be my people. She'd already told Boaz that. And they had already met. And so she didn't say, okay, that's it. I'm just going to go through life. No, she went back to him to try to establish that lasting relationship. So again, when I was 10 years old, I realized I was a sinner, realized I was going to die and go to hell. I asked Jesus Christ to save me. But that's not the last time I talked to him. That's not the last time that I went looking for him. No, I wanted that lasting relationship. Now, I don't have to have the lasting relationship to get to heaven. All right, so it's kind of like that relationship fellowship. Can't lose the relationship once you get saved, but that fellowship can be lost. And so she wanted to go establish that lasting fellowship, lasting relationship. So in Ruth 1, she knew him, that he existed, and she met him that day. Ruth 2, we saw that she was a benefactor of his, you know, protection. He protected her from those young fellas, and he gave her some extra on handfuls on purpose, that kind of stuff. So, but in Ruth 3, we see here, she wanted to establish that personal relationship with him. So she was grateful for the food and the protection and the gifts and the attention. She was grateful for all that. Now she wanted a groom. All right, she wanted a groom. So corn wasn't good enough anymore. Protection wasn't good enough anymore. Having her belly full and everything going fine wasn't good enough anymore. She wanted a groom. And again, we know there are situations out there these days, shotgun weddings, if you want to call them, and schmoozing, you know, trying to, you know, work the angle because this person has money. There's all kinds of ways that people try to entrap each other for relationships and all this kind of stuff. All right, so this was not the ploy. Just like we talked about, there wasn't anything wicked or immoral in what she was doing by going in and laying at his feet. Again, there was not any trickeration. You know, a lot of people, yes, she was told to put perfume on, but she wasn't trusting in the perfume. All right, and there are those guys out there that can be schmoozed just by the perfume, schmoozed just by the outfit. Schmooze, just, you know, some guys, they just go brain dead when they smell stuff like that or see stuff like that. But he wasn't that way, and so she wasn't trying that, but she wanted that relationship with him. And so, of course, we ought to want a relationship with Christ. So our purpose of getting to Jesus is so not just for the protection and not just for us getting to go to heaven, but to develop that relationship. But it should be to give ourselves totally to him. Our relationship with Jesus should be more than just a casual friendship. And so, again, this is that's why I believe God put this story in the Bible, was to show the developing of that personal fellowship that she had, that deep, intimate relationship, because that's what he wants with each of us. So after all this, Naomi's life had got in a mess in the first place, and it says here, because she had lacked that close relationship with Jesus, and she looked elsewhere for provision. So if you go back to the beginning of Ruth, you saw that there was a famine. And Elimelech said, hey, let's get out of here. There's some food down there in Egypt, so let's go. And so again, close relationship with God, they would have stayed. Boaz stayed. There were others that stayed. And God, they were still alive when they got back. God had provided for them. And so the key is that personal relationship with the Lord. So our purpose for living like we live, to develop that personal relationship. The purpose for us doing what we do, develop that close relationship. For saying what we say, to develop that close relationship. So it's not for the gifts, but it's for the giver. So she had looked way past the corn, way past the threshing floor, way past the protection, and she wanted him. And so again, that's what we have to do in our Christian life. It's like, look, thank you for the salvation. Thank you for removing me from even a chance of going to hell. Thank you for the blessings of church. Thank you for the blessing of the Bible. Thank you for the blessings of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for all these blessings. But that's not why I'm doing what I'm doing. I love you, and I want to be close to you. Those are just benefits of it. And so that's what she was trying to teach her. So James 1:17 says this, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, that cometh down from the Father of lights. And so we know that Jesus is the one that gives us everything, but we ought not do what we do just so we can get that stuff. We ought to do what we do because we love Him. So Ruth not only enjoyed the gifts, but she enjoyed the giver. If we find ourselves in a right situation or a situation, we got to look for that right solution. So we must have the right plan. We must have the right purpose. And now I think we can start with some new stuff. Number three, we must have the right person. We must have the right person. And of course, so the plan was Boaz. The purpose was to meet Boaz. Obviously, the right person was Boaz. It wouldn't have worked with anybody else. And there was probably other people that owned fields. There was probably other people that could have given her protection. There was probably other people that could have, she could have been attracted to and all that kind of stuff. But obviously, Boaz was the kinsman redeemer. So it wasn't anybody else. And again, in our day and time, there's other people that, people that put Mary in prominence. Mary was a godly young lady. She was chosen by God to give birth to His Son. But she's not the Savior. she wouldn't be the right person. Joseph Smith is another person that started a religion, and he was a prophet and all this kind of stuff, and you had to come to him. And there's been other people that started cults and things like that, and say you have to pray to me and trust me, and I'm this and I'm that. The wrong person. So in our life, obviously, anybody other than Jesus in this position would be the wrong person. Sometimes it's who we look at in the mirror. I'm God. I get to make all the decisions. I'm the only one that wants to be happy. And so we just move God out of the way and put ourselves on the throne, and we become that person. So wrong person. So if we want to find out in this situation, we want to find the right solution. It's got to be the right person. So Ruth, she was young and attractive, and she was saved now because she told Naomi, you're got to be my God, and so forth. She was had been identified with the people of Israel. She's like, your people's going to be my people. So they had accepted that. And so Boaz had protected her from those young men in chapter 1. In chapter 3, verse 10, it said that she followeth not after the young men. And so if you look at it, the story, of course, she was the age of some of those young men. And Boaz was protecting her for them because, dudes will be dudes sometimes. And he wanted the young lady safe. But there was a little bit of an age difference there. But he was the kinsman redeemer, so it fit the law and so forth. So Boaz was that kinsman redeemer. According to the law, he had the right to redeem her. He had the right to marry her. He was the right person. Plus, Boaz loved her and had given her every evidence of that, with the blessings, with the protection. He was the right person. So Jesus is our kinsman redeemer. Obviously, He was the right person to redeem us. So He came to earth, took on Himself as the form of a servant, just so He could be one of us. And He made Himself of no reputation, but took on that form of servant, Philippians 2:7. So He was only one that could have redeemed us. Why? Because He was the only sinless one. There's not ever been another sinless one. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, that He knew no sin. So, in our Redeemer, our kinsman Redeemer, it had to be the right person, the sinless person. Then it also says in Hebrews 7:26 that He was holy. He was holy. There was no blemish in Him. He was God in the flesh. He was holy. He was sinless. He was holy. But then He also shed His blood. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of His blood, there would have been no remission for our sin. So just like there was nobody that could have bought her back and took care of her, there was nobody that could buy us without shedding their blood. And Jesus shed His blood. And not only was He sinless and he shed his blood and he was holy, but then he also was willing to. In John 10:17, it says here, he laid down his life. His willingness came through. And so again, she could have said, all right, I want Boaz. And if Boaz would have said, I'm not willing, he would have been the wrong person. But Jesus was willing, and he laid down his life for us. Because he was the only one that could have done that. Acts 4:12 says this, there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So Jesus was the right person for us, just like Boaz was the right person for Ruth. So the right situation, or the right solution of that situation, we have to have the right plan, we have to have the right purpose, we have to have the right person. Number four, we have to have the right preparations. The right preparations. And so again, we say, okay, and there's a lot of people out there today say, okay, I agree, we're all sinners. I agree, there is salvation. But they try to do the different preparations. They try to do it through baptism. They try to do it through their works. Wrong preparations. We have to do it the way God says. And so again, Naomi told her how to do it. Here's what I want you to do. So Naomi told Ruth exactly how to prepare herself to meet Boaz. So Ruth's actions were not improper. And some people have tried to throw that in there. And we've said that already about the immorality and stuff. That she was in the wrong place and all that kind of stuff. But the Bible said, and God wouldn't have put it in there if she was doing wrong. He said that she wasn't being forward in any way. She was younger than him and so forth. And she needed a kinsman redeemer. And we saw that in chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. And so in verse 3 of chapter 3, Naomi said, okay, here's the preparations. This is what you're going to do. First of all, go wash yourself. All right. So, of course, if we're going to be saved, we have to be washed in the blood. You can get Clorox if you want to, Arm & Hammer baking soda, and go at it, and you're not going to get rid of your sins. All right? But Jesus' blood can be applied, and we can be washed. And so she was told, wash yourself. And then we see here, she said, anoint yourself. And of course, and if you study in the Bible, that anointing oil is a type of the Holy Spirit. So we have to have the Holy Spirit in us. And so we have to ask Him to save us. Of course, this was a sweet-smelling thing for them. But then it says here, put thy raiment on. And so, she was supposed to dress up. She wanted to look presentable. And again, we've all been told, and we read books on it when I was in college and things like that, when you go to a job interview. Now, I have been to some job interviews that book that I read in college doesn't apply. All right? Like if you're going to go apply for a job cleaning out a chicken house, and we know what's on the floor of a chicken house, right? Probably a three-piece suit and wingtips is not what you want to go apply for that job in, okay? But most of the time it is dress up. If you go into a corporate building and you got your jeans that you cleaned out that chicken house in, and you've been sweating like crazy and go in there and apply for that job, you're probably not going to get it. So same thing here. She said, look, you got to prepare yourself. Wash yourself. Anoint yourself. Put your best on. And so again, the Bible talks a lot about the way we look and the way we present ourselves. And so she was told, prepare yourself. Then it says here, get down on the floor. In other words, when you get there, uncover his feet, but you just lay down at his feet. Don't go in there smacking your gum, snapping your fingers, doing the bebop around, and say, look here, Boaz. No, you don't tell him. You go in there humbly. Again, this world has pushed that on people. I'll just tell them what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell them I want to raise. I'm going to tell them. And that's what's been pushed on us. But the Bible says here, when we're preparing to talk to God and we're preparing that relationship with God, we don't tell the big man upstairs what's going to happen. We don't say, look here, Mr. God. No, we better humble ourselves. And so anyway, she went in there, and she looked right, she sounded right, she smelled right, she behaved right, and things like that. So she was clean, attractive, and acceptable. And so this was the preparation that she was told. So Christians are to be different. Again, some say, for instance, if you said, is a T-shirt sinful? It depends. All right. For instance, I had two T-shirts that I would have considered sinful in a couple different ways when I was a teenager. I had two t-shirts. One said AC/DC on it. All right? And if anybody knows what that is, it's obviously a heavy metal group. And I believe it had something about being Satan's child and all that kind of stuff in the name. All right? It was wrong that way because it associated me with wickedness. But my parents didn't know about it either. And I'd put it on after I left the house. So now it's sinful two different ways. In the association, and then I was doing it behind their back. The other one I had was a Jack Daniels t-shirt. Old number 7. And it associated me with alcohol. But I wouldn't put that on in my dad's house. He would have killed me. But I had it under seat my pickup. And so when I left, I put it on. So can a t-shirt be wicked? Yes. So it is important. All right? And so association, so that's exactly what... She didn't go in there with her AC/DC t-shirt on and talk to Boaz. Yo, dude. Rock on. All right? Or her Jack Daniels t-shirt and you want a little sip? No. It's association. So again, we got to be careful. And she was supposed to prepare herself. And that's why the Bible says in Colossians 3, if you look at it, several places in Colossians 3 where obviously the church at Colossae was being told, you put off that old and you put on that new. And it talked about their clothing. It talked about their wine in the bottles. And it said, you get rid of all that old stuff. And so again, she was supposed to prepare herself, get rid of your old, I believe the Bible said in chapter 3, get rid of your old widow's garment. Yeah, get rid of that. Don't associate with that anymore. It ought to be different. And so she was told to put off, put on. And that we ought to do that with our language. We ought to do with that our love. The Bible says, set our affections on things above, not things of this earth. Well, I just love that music. Or I just love that. And whatever sin you want to put in there. And I just love it. I can't get rid of it. I just love it. And that's why the Bible says, you know, set your affections on things above. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. We're supposed to change what we love. And so, again, that's what she was told. You change, you wash yourself, you put on a raiment, and you get down on the floor. And so this is how you prepare yourself. So Naomi had told Ruth, take off her old widow's garment, put on her new fresh clothing. And she was trying to show how important it was the way she looked. And now, you don't get saved by putting on different garments. But if you are saved, you ought to put on different garments, again, to associate. And that's what she was saying here. So we're no longer living in the past, but we're living for the future. And so, again, don't worry about keeping up with the Joneses, wearing what's popular. Let's look like a Christian. So wash yourself, prepare yourself, be holy. 2 Corinthians 7:1 says this, having therefore the promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh, and spirit perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And if I could just get Christians to grab that verse, because a lot of Christians, they'll get saved because they don't want to go to hell. But then they keep that chip on their shoulder. Anytime they read a scripture, or anytime they hear a Sunday school lesson, or anytime the preacher maybe steps on it, well, what's wrong with that? I don't see the big deal. What's wrong with the t-shirt? I just explained to you a while ago what a t-shirt could be wrong. But they're just like, well, what's wrong with it? What's wrong with it? What's wrong with it? Read this verse. Having therefore the promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. Put off the old, put on the new. And it says here, from all filthiness of the flesh, anything that we drink, taste, smoke, eat, whatever, let's get rid of that stuff that hurts the flesh. Then it says here, in spirit, be what God wants to do, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So my question to anybody that comes to me and says, well, what's wrong with that? Does it please God? Is it holy? That's what I'm saying. She didn't come back to Naomi and said, what about this? Well, can I wear this? No, she just said, yes, okay, I'm going to go in there. And so that's what I'm saying. So we have to perfect, let the Holy Spirit perfect us in the fear of God. So salvation, God washes us. When we do sin after we've been washed, 1 John 1:9, we basically apply the blood again. But that perfecting, that cleansing ourselves, you saw it right there in that verse. There are some things that we're supposed to do. Jesus is not going to come down and take off the old garment and put the new garment on. He tells us to. He's not going to say, okay, you know, yank this out of your mouth and put this good stuff in your mouth. He tells us to. And so that's what he's saying here. So cleanse yourself. Take off the old, put on the new. This is your preparation. So we must remove from our lives that which would be offensive to the Savior. Okay, the Bible talks about Him being a sweet-smelling savor. So in other words, when we think about Him saving us, when we think about what He did on the cross for us, when we think about He, 1 John 1:9, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He leads us. He blesses us. Man, that Christian life just smells awesome. It doesn't smell like sin. It doesn't smell like nastiness. It just smells. That's what He wants out of us. That's why she was supposed to put that ointment on. And when she walked in, Boaz was going to go, man, that smells clean. That smells nice. So we're supposed to live in a way that when Jesus looks down at us, He goes, that's it. That smells good. It doesn't stink. Lying stinks. We ought to tell the truth. That smells sweet. And being mean stinks. We ought to be nice. Hating stinks. We ought to love. And so that's what he's talking about. Add all these things in the perfecting of your holiness, and that's going to make you a sweet-smelling person to the Savior. And all that he did makes, you know, he's a sweet-smelling savor to us. We just ought to want to be a sweet-smelling savor back to him. So to help our situation, we've got to find that right solution. So we must have the right plan, the right purpose, the right person, the right preparation. And I believe this is the last one. We must be in the right place. We must be in the right place. So she could have said, all right, I'll take a bath. I'll put some perfume on. I'll go in there and uncover his feet. But I'm not laying down there by them feet. You smelled dude's feet before? All right, if you've ever had a teenage son that you have to put their basketball shoes outside, and sometimes even out of the garage into the shed, they stink. She could have said, I'm not laying at his feet. No way. No, we got to be in the right place. That's what, you get saved, you read Hebrews 10:25, forsake not yourselves to assembling yourselves together with other believers. I'm not going to church. Not in the right place. Probably not going to get the right solution for your situation. But if we go to church and God sees that, He says, okay, I'm going to bless them. I'm going to help them with that situation. Why? Because they were in the right place. So that's what we're seeing that she's teaching here. We must be in the right place. So four times in the book of Ruth, chapter 3, we see the phrase, his feet. If you look in verse 4, it talks about his feet. Verse 7, his feet. Verse 8, his feet. Verse 14, his feet. You've got to stay in that humble position, humble place. And so again, when we come to church, what are we saying? Okay, I want to be obedient. I want to please God. But I'm being humble saying, God, I need some help with that situation we were talking about. Again, I'm here because I want to be obedient. I'm here because I want you to bless me. But I'm also here because this is the place where you tell me to come. And I'm wanting help with that situation. I know it's happened to me. Now, obviously, week in and week out, I'm the one doing this part. But when I was doing your part, there were times where I'd come to the right place with a situation that I didn't know how to handle. And I'm saying, God, you got to help me. you got to instruct. And where I was sitting in the right place, lo and behold, boom, the right solution for that situation came from the sermon. And there's been some times where the verse was just read. Maybe it wasn't even in the sermon. So we see here the right place is there. So Ruth had to go to be at his plate as a place of total submission. Total submission. That's what we have to do. Well, I'm gonna get right with God in all these areas except this one right here. This is my pet sin, or what the Bible calls my besetting sin. The one I can't get rid of. Okay? So we're going to bring into the right place a wrong thing. And so we see that she was totally submitted. She had been to the field and fell at his feet, thanking him for the food. She had fell at his feet, thanking him for that protection and that extra gift. Now she's at his feet, wanting to develop that personal relationship with him. So she bowed and thanked him for the gift. Now she is at his feet. Romans 12:1 says this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So pretty much this verse is saying, you just do what Ruth did. You go to Jesus, you bow down at his feet, and say, take care of this situation for me. Show me the right solution. So in Ruth 2, Boaz came to Ruth. Jesus came to us. He came to seek and to save. In Ruth 3, Ruth went back to Boaz. So what did she do? She went back to present her body a living sacrifice. That's what we're supposed to do. So this act of dedication was not done publicly, but privately. That's why the Bible tells us not to give our alms in public, not to pray our prayers in public, not to do that thing in public. That's a personal relationship. Now, the purchasing was in public. Boaz went to the county seat, courthouse, if you want to call it, and there were 10, the Bible says there were 10 witnesses there, elders there, and Saul, Boaz, give the money for Ruth, give the money for the property. That action was done in public. Okay, so when he bought her, it was in public. When Jesus bought us, guess where it was? On Golgotha, in public. He died for us in public. And Jesus purchased us in a public place. But when we've developed that personal relationship with him, it's private. Enter into your closet. Okay, give your alms. Don't let your right hand let what your left hand is doing. So that place, it says here, the plans were private. So Naomi and Ruth met together and said, okay, this is what you're going to do. That was private, just them two. Our redemption, what was it? The Bible says, before the foundations of the world, God, the Father, and God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, let us. They did that in private. They planned the purchase. Now, the purchase was in public, but that price or that personal relationship is in private. So the place says here, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Privately. She said, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee? I want it to be well with thee. Ruth 3:1. So this place of submission was at Jesus' feet. It was at Boaz's feet. It's the only place where rest can be found for that solution. So don't fight it. Don't run from it. Don't argue about it with that chip on your shoulder. Just run to the feet of Jesus. So after you cleanse yourself and humble yourself, present yourself. And that's exactly what Ruth did when she went there and presented herself to Boaz. All right, so we got through. It took us two Wednesdays, but we got through with that. Amen. So let's have a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you. And Lord, I saw that was some heavy stuff. Lord, obviously it was straight from the Bible. But Lord, I just ask you to help us, Lord, to humble ourselves. There's a few things that we have to do ourselves. The Bible says humble ourselves. Cleanse ourselves in some of those things. Get rid of some of those things. So then we can present ourselves holy, acceptable unto you, which is our reasonable service. And thank you for this reminder of in the book of Ruth of this exact action being taken place where she humbled herself, came and presented herself at Boaz's feet. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.